Today's scripture reading is from the book of Psalm, chapter 1, and John, chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. Psalm, chapter 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path of sinners, tread or sit in the seat of scoffers, but their delight is in the law of God, and on God's law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield the fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. The wicked are not so, but like the chaff that the wind drives away. Before the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For God watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked shall perish.
John chapter 17, verses 6 through 19. I have made your name known to those whom you gave me from the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know everything you have given me is from you, for the words that you gave to me, I have given to them, and they have received them, and know in truth that I came from you. And they have believed that you sent me. I am asking on their behalf. I am not asking on behalf of the world, but on behalf of those whom you gave me, because they are yours. All mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I have been glorified in them. And now I am no longer in the world, but they are in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them in your name that you have given me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them in your name that you have given me. I guarded them, and not one of them was lost except the one destined to be lost, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I speak these things in the world so that they may have my joy made complete in themselves. I have given them to your word, and the world has hated them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. I am not asking you to take them out of the world, but I ask you to protect them from the evil one. They do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, so that they may also be sanctified in truth. Here ends the reading. Yeah.
Good morning, and aloha, everyone. Whew, it's so good to be with you today, and I'd like to say a sincere mahalo to the worship team and for this wonderful family. I love family that reads scripture together, stays together. It's an awesome thing. And also for my brother, Pastor David, for giving me this opportunity to share God's word with you today. The Lord be with you all. Join me in a moment of prayer. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. May the words of my mouth, the meditation of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You know, church, I grapple with the ability to put into words the depth of gratitude I have for the countless hands and hearts that cared enough to nurture this wild and undeserving crazy guy from Detroit to get me to where I am today. Have you ever thought about that in your life? The many hands, the hearts, the people that took a risk or maybe even just taking a risk saying something to you or giving you advice. Sometimes we don't want to hear what other people have to say. But many hands, many hearts, many lives, somehow, some way, probably touched yours if you're like me. And that's why you're even standing, sitting, being present today. I love this quote from Howard Thurman. He was a laureate, theologian, and mystic. He says it kind of perfectly. Listen to what Thurman said. He said, from an early age, he recognized that he was not the guide of his life, but rather an inquisitive explorer on an extraordinary expedition. Whew. From an early age, he recognized that he was not the guide, but rather an inquisitive explorer on an extraordinary expedition. I truly embrace and love and identify with what he says. And it's a resounding amen to that truth in my life. I'm not in control here. I mean, in the moment we realize that, then we've got some power. I'm on the journey, and I pray every day that I feel and I yield to the leading of, and sometimes the nudging, pushing, and embracing and dragging of God's Holy Spirit. I experienced Jesus saying that in the word that we heard today and also in his actions. He's saying in his relationship with God that, listen, I have these disciples and you and I are one. We are one. In that call, in that word, he's saying, I'm yielding and blending my spirit with yours, God. I'm moving in with you. The Holy Spirit guides me. I've walked with them. I've been with them. On this journey, if we're truly that inquisitive explorer, we see, and more importantly, we feel the huge yield signs along the way. If you're like me, if you see traffic in Hawaii today, I wish others would see the huge yield signs along the way. People running red lights and stop signs like crazy. Make you think you're in New York or something. Anyway, that's another story. Other times in life, on this inquisitive explorer type journey, we must see the glaring red stop sign. The Spirit of God puts them there for us. We need to see them too. Well, on this Mother's Day, I have to give honor to Ruby Lee Nettles Scott, my mom from Mobile, Alabama. Grew up a little country girl and came up to Detroit and found a new world up there. Let me tell you about her, man. She could be as smooth and mild as a summer breeze, or a glass of sweet tea, as they say down south. Or hallelujah, she could be as like a raging storm, depending on the situation, and depending on the relationship, depending on the journey and the people. As I explored this, I saw those same kinds of situations in the life of Jesus. In that gospel that we read, the scripture that we heard today. You know, sometimes you see Jesus in life being that Galilean walking by the sea. He sees fishermen, and maybe in Hawaii they may say, hey, bro, where you stay? They're like, who is this guy? You look like you never been nowhere, bro. Come, follow me, follow me. Or you see Jesus at God's house, turning over tables, ripping things apart, because people were trying to sell offerings in order to receive a blessing. Like, you give me this, and then you can come in and lay this blessing on the table. We know that in that gospel, and we hear the stories of Jesus creating a whip and commencing to turn it over tables and driving them all out. Well, Ruby Lee tried to handle me and my wild five sisters. Can you imagine growing up being the only boy with five sisters? That was terrible. That was awful. It was pretty good, too, but it was kind of awful, too. Well, let's just say that woman, she didn't play. She didn't take no mess from anybody, and she had to be that way. But I saw her live out one of her famous sayings. I have a couple of sayings from my mom I'm going to share with you today. But this first one, I saw up close and personal in color, HD, surround sound, AI, and anything you can think of. And this was one of her famous sayings. Don't let the devil steal your joy. Don't let the devil steal your joy. And you may have heard that before. And maybe you've heard it, but Ruby, well, she said it loud and clear and many times in all of her actions. And just like Jesus turned over tables in life, and God does the same in our lives, quite often God is turning over the tables in our lives because God wants us to do something, and we have a hard time following. And God will flip the table over and send us in another direction. I know it's been that way in my life. So, some of you may know, if you don't, I'll tell you, from a very young age, and quite often in the black churches, people will say you have a certain sign upon your life. you have a sign of this. And people would say I had the sign of a preacher, and I didn't want to be a preacher. Everywhere I'd go to church, and I'd visit churches. I'd go down south to Alabama. My grandfather would say, this is my grandson, George, and I'm going to introduce you to him. He's going to be a preacher someday. And I'd be like, no, I'm not going to be a preacher someday. No, don't tell people that, Grandpa. I didn't want it. I ran and ran and ran. I wanted to be a pro football player. I wanted to have a lot of money, be a millionaire, and do those great things. Because, you know, we didn't grow up with that much. So, of course, I wanted a lot. But God's Spirit kept tapping me on the shoulder over and over. It hit me like a ton of bricks. One of my sisters called, and she named it for me. And it was just weeks before she passed away. And she said, God's going to use you in a special way. And I didn't know that she was dying. But she was dying, and she had that word that she wanted to give me before she left this realm of life. But even then, I ran. I ran. I ran physically from God. I ran spiritually from God. I hid in ways that, how can I put this? Well, let's just say one of the ways I hid was by engaging and consuming some forms of recreational activities that you couldn't purchase at an everyday store. Figure that part out, okay? Just think about it, church. Think about it. I hope that's okay. I don't want the walls to fall on me for saying something like that here in this holy place, on this holy ground. Well, with God's hand upon my life, sometimes, you know, we hide. We hide from a calling, and it doesn't have to be a ministry calling. Sometimes God is calling you to do something that maybe you should be doing. You may need to turn a table over in your life and do something different. And we don't always want to do it. And in my case, it was ministry. Well, that happened. Sometimes it's a combination of two things. Sometimes it's a combination of feeling that you're running from a calling, a change in life, or something you need to do or want to do or should have done. Other times, you run because you feel you've been dealt a bad hand. Sometimes we feel like God doesn't love me. God dealt me this hand. God is not in my life. The Spirit is not upon me. God, if you loved me, you wouldn't have done this thing to me. So I had that combination going. Well, Lord, if you loved me, you wouldn't have taken Blanche. She was 38 years old. How could you take my best friend from me? And what do you mean, this calling? I don't want a calling on my life. I don't want that. So I was hiding. I was running. And that combination of that dealt me a bad hand and running from the call caught up to me in a major way one day. Now, I'm a grown man at this point when I was talking about consuming those activities, and it can lead to those types of things I was doing could lead to some, let's say, all-night explorations. Well, I'm hanging with this crew. We're doing what we do. Well, here's what happened. Early one morning, like the break of dawn, just as the light comes up, it's one of those nights where we've been up all night long. I'm groggy. Everybody in the house that's doing these things, we're groggy. We're like, whoa, whoa. And guess what happens? There's a knock on the door. Somebody peeks out and says, George, it's your mother. Your mother's at the door. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. My mom's at the door. And here's what she says. Everybody's scrambling. They're shouting. She said, I know he's in there. Send him out. My mother at the house. Send him out. And I thought I was slick. I parked my car like four blocks away. You know, I mean, she doesn't know where. Nope, she found me. Send him out. And tell him to come around to the house when he leaves. Man, I was frightened. I was scared. And they pushed me out the door. Get out of here, man. You're going to get us busted. Get out of here. So they kicked me out the house, and I went around and talked with her, and she sat on the couch like this. And she read me up and down, man. I can't even tell you all the things she said, but I guess she was saying this. She became that ruby that I said was a raging storm. I think she was saying, I ain't going to let the devil steal my joy or my boy. You're not going, George. I'm going to make sure that you see this big, giant, hard stop sign. No, that's not going to be your life. So I give thanks to God for this crazy journey of my life. And I hear Jesus saying in this gospel, Jesus was saying, I did my best. I kept them. I want to give them back to you, Lord. I want to give them back. And he prays for himself. He prays for the disciples. And he prays for the world. All within that scripture. He prays for us. Well, on this journey, this wild exploration that we call life, my wife Bridget and I, some of you know, we were involved in youth ministry at Central Union Church for about 20 years. And we've been all over the world with teenagers, and now they're young adults, and I'm marrying them and baptizing their babies and seeing them in life. It's incredible. It's a wonderful thing. Well, one of the explorations we went to South Dakota, to the Lakota Sioux Pine Ridge Reservation. And we took a bunch of kids there from Hawaii. What an experience. We connected with the the minister there was Richard Charging Eagle. He was a UCC minister, a wonderful man, welcomed us with open arms, and we had an unbelievable experience. Well, we went there to teach vacation Bible school. That was our goal. We're going to teach vacation Bible school. Guess what? We get there the first day. We're sitting inside this parish hall. And it's a rugged place. The reservation was. And these kids, the Lakota Sioux Indian kids, ride up with horses. And they say, hey, kids, you want to go ride horses? And so all of our students said, yeah, and they ran out. That was the end of vacation Bible school. But the beautiful thing about it was that we all learned from each other. It was great. There were so many things that happened. We participated in a sweat lodge. We did many things that went on there. Our last night there on this adventure, two of our little kiddos decided to disappear. And if you know the reservations, it's thousands and thousands of acres, thousands. So it's pitch black at night. It's the night before we're getting ready to leave. And we can't find two kids. Oh my God. So we're searching. And the people on the res have a way. They have these bells. They have these lights. They transfer words to each other about this. We're thinking about coyotes. We're thinking about wolves, the many things, and then ravines. You can walk in the dark and fall into a ravine. It was unbelievable. This last night, we're trying to leave. We're scared. The other teenagers are wondering where they are. People are crying. It's unbelievable. Well, after hours and hours, wee hours in the morning, they walk in. They walk in. We were lying in a ditch looking at the stars. We went off. I mean, the other kids went off even more than me and my wife did. But here's what happened. The yelling and screaming turned into some kind words, and we were worried about you. We're glad that you're okay. We're so, so happy to have you back. And I tell you this because when we arrived back at the church and the parents are there to pick them up, we were like quoting that scripture from John. We said to the parents, we give them back to you now. They were with us, and now they are yours. We kept them safe for the time that they were with us, but we had this motto that we would always say, we give them back to you, and on every trip, we'll bring back no more and no less. And we did no more and no less in that call. Do you remember anyone in your life that was like a mother to you? I give thanks to God for those who may not have been my birth mothers, but we're willing to mother me in this world. And sometimes we close down and we don't allow them to help us. Other times we open our arms and we greet them. Sometimes we're the one loving as a mother to others. I'm reminded of this lady. Her name was Mary. Miss Mary had one of the best delis on the east side of Detroit. Now, she was the kind of person that you'd love to talk with. She wore an apron all the time. You know, she would make these beautiful corned beef sandwiches, wrap them up. Her hands were a little bit greasy. She'd wipe them on. Then she'd talk story with the customers over and over. But what happens is that she knew I love the sandwiches. I'd come in, and then we developed this system of once a week, I'd come in. She'd fix me a sandwich. We'd go in the back room and talk story, share the Bible. And then if a customer came in, she'd go, help the customer, come back and sit with me. And this is all during that time when I was running from that call that God had on my life. But she would share Psalm 1. And she would talk to me about God is going to use you. God wants to use you. Never forget her because she didn't have to do that. She had a business to run, but she felt that it was important that she was another voice that spoke to me saying, I'm praying for you. I got you. Well, I'm going to close, but I have another one of my mom's favorite sayings, and I think it's appropriate, especially for today and any day in life. She says this. She would say, give me my flowers while I can still smell them. Give me my flowers while I can still smell them. So as we hear Jesus speaking to us and God saying, you know, I've walked with you. I've done your will. Thank you for glorifying me and glorifying them. So we can do that each day of our lives. We can do the deeds in life that help another person smile. We can give them their flowers while they can still smell them. We know that God is walking with each and every one of us. God wants to multiply our efforts, for God is with us. Amen, amen, amen. Mahalo.